The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
But this morning, I am privileged to be able to introduce Leland Close, a brother, an elder of this church, and a life group leader, facilitator, who loves the Lord, and he has some good things to share with you this morning. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? I want to start off here with a little spiritual humor here this morning. There's a little old lady lived in this small town. She didn't have much money. She was living on a fixed income, and she just, every morning she would go outside and praise the Lord for the new day, and she praised the Lord for all the blessings and the food that he was going to supply for her that day, because by the time she paid her taxes and her utilities and everything, she had not much money to live on. Well, different times, you know, she would go out and praise the Lord. They hear her praising God for supplying her meals for the day, and the neighbors were getting irritated. They weren't Christians, and they were just getting irritated on both sides of her. So one day they was out and they's listening to her thank the Lord for the meal for that day and stuff. So that afternoon they got together and went to town and bought groceries, and that night they set them on her porch. And the next morning she came out. Of course, she was all excited of what the Lord had done and how he had blessed her. And she was out there saying, you know, Lord, I just thank you for these groceries, and but Lord, I just praise you for what you're doing. And so they jumped out behind the bushes in which they were hiding behind and said, God didn't provide them, we did. And so she looks at him, she says, well, thank you, Lord, for providing the groceries and sending the devil to bring them. So, so you know, it's always good to be respectful of our neighbors. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. The message today is on being reconciled. And you know, it's something that's very much needed in the church. How many know that we get offended sometimes when we shouldn't in the church? And you know, I found out in doing some research here, this is not the first time I preached this message, but over the years I've preached it several times. What I found out in my research, between 80 and 85% of the problems that we have in church with each other was on miscommunications. The person didn't mean it like you took it, and or they had an what they said was correct, but their attitude was all wrong. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. And then what happens? Pride kicks in. Pride kicks in and says, well, they need to come to me and apologize. They need to come to me and get it right, because after all, I'm so important, you know, they need to bow to me. I will not take the initiative to humble myself and go to them, because of the simple fact, after all, God's got a special person here and everybody should serve me. Hello. Hello. So let's start right here with Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. It says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. We've got to learn to not be easily offended in the church. How many know that sometimes you say things just because you're having a bad day, you really didn't mean them that way? And you know, and I got to be honest with you. Some days I get up, I've just had my fill, and I decide to be nasty that day. Hello? Right? So when that happens, because I meditated upon it, instead of giving it to the Lord to be quick to forgive that person, quick to show the love of God, what I done, I decided to meditate upon it and take it into my hands, and I'll just give them a piece of my mind. Well, you know, I found over the years, I think I've given it all away. It's mind over matter. I give away my mind, now it don't matter. You know? And I see people boasting them, well, I just give them a piece of my mind. You know, that's a dangerous thing. Because what you're doing, you've allowed pride to come in, and you've taken God clear out of the equation. And you're not letting God come through and do a work in your life. But as we yield to God and are slow to anger, we find that God has total control because we have time to seek Him. If we'll turn to Proverbs 16:32, and I want to establish, what I'm trying to do is establish something here as Christians. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Do you see what we're trying to link here? We as Christians should be slow to wrath. We should be slow to anger. We should be slow to be offended by what people say to us. And as a result, if when we do that, we'll find that we'll not enter into a lot of the problems that causes us to have to be reconciled. Let's turn to 17:14. 17:14 says, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contentions before the quarrel breaks out or starts." So we find that if we just be quick to forgive and show love, we would not have to be in the strife. There's three things I've got over my desk that I refer to often, still not often enough. I've got the seven ways to praise God, the seven things to praise God for and also to enter into His presence. And then I've got how love behaves. And then right beside it, I have this sheet that says, be reconciled. Because the first two I fail to follow sometimes, so I have to refer to the third sheet to correct what I've messed up. You know, there's a time when we have to correct that which we've messed up. We have to be reconciled. And to be reconciled, it means we have to humble ourselves and let God do the work. Let's turn to 19:11. I've got a lot of scriptures, so I'm going to kind of move through them here a little bit quick. It says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Here again, what's it say? Slow to anger. Do you see the pattern here? It's slow to anger. Always be slow to jump to conclusion is what I take it. Be slow to have to do your thing and seek God. So we have to be on the when we get into the scriptures and we get that in from our head down to our heart and we start walking in the scriptures, we find that we will not be offended as easy as we used to be. Because when we start walking in the Word of God, the love of God starts coming out. And God says, love covers a multitude of sin. But, you know, we got that up here. We carry it up here all the time. And we carry the Word of God up here. But it's the 18 inches from up here to here, our heart or our spirit, that we seem to have a hard time moving back and forth between. And that is what causes our problem. And that big word called pride, that we won't humble ourselves before God and say, God, where it's my fault, not my fault, it don't make any difference. I just want my brother or sister reconciled back to the body of Christ. And that's what life groups are all about. A lot of times on Sunday morning, you won't see people come and get reconciled here because they don't want to come out in front of the body of Christ. But that's part of what we're seeing in the life groups. People that's been hurt in church. People that's had things done to them or they've done things and they just haven't quite forgiven or they haven't got to where they feel like they're back part of the body of Christ. We come and we have food and then we have prayer. And, you know, then we have Bible study. But the bottom line is we're always open to the Holy Spirit doing a work in us to reconcile our brother and sister or to meet our brothers and sisters' need, where it be healing or where it's reconciliation or whatever it is. That's what life, because in a small group, we can get to know you better. You can get to know us better. And as a result, we can work with each other. And a lot of times, you'll see the body of Christ grow stronger through a life group because you're there and you got people praying for you one-on-one and you're getting to know them and you trust them to do that praying for you. You pray, you know, you trust them to have your interest in mind, and what we do in the life group stays in the life group. We don't take it. We don't get on the telephone. One of the worst hurts I ever got was I went through a bad situation And I'm not going to go through it because it's a long testimony, and you know, it's not something that really needs to be brought out this morning. But I went through a real bad situation. I went to the board of the church and to the pastor of that church and repented because I had done wrong. Didn't mean to, but I did. Okay? How it all turned out, it turned out all wrong. And as a result, I went before the church board and the pastor and repented and had them to pray for me because I felt that that was the right thing. After reading the Word of God, I felt that that was the right thing I needed to do. Go before the brothers and repent and humble myself and ask for their forgiveness and also to get prayer. Well, as a result, the following week, that was on a Sunday night, the following week, I was in the Kroger store in Belpre, and a person come up and told me, I hear you went through this problem. I hear you've done this. How hurtful that, because I thought I was in you know, with confidentiality. So to me, when somebody comes to a life group or even in the altar just for prayer, it's very confidential. I feel if they want to tell somebody else, that's their privilege. They can do whatever they want. But they come to me in confidence, and that's the way we feel in the life groups. And when we're restoring, when we have a chance to restore or pray for somebody, we don't go all over the neighborhood telling everybody what you're going through or what you've done. You know, that's not our business. Our business is to pray and encourage and restore you back to the body of Christ. And that's what life groups are for. Now, I'm going to get on a rabbit trail here, so I better get off from it. Let's go to 19:11. I already done that one. Let's go to 20, verse 3. It said, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. That says it all right there. You know, I don't even need to comment on that one. It's there. You know, and one thing I've learned over the years, and it's been very helpful to me and just food for thought for y'all, I get up every day and I read the Proverbs for that day. And I ask God for wisdom for that day. I ask Him to make Proverbs come alive in me, that I'll get the wisdom of God as I go through the day. I have done this for years, and you know I have read the book of Proverbs I don't know how many times, but God still opens that scripture, them scriptures up to me. Even though I've read them so many times, He gives me a new insight into that word. And I feel because I've sought God and seek, and in another book is Ecclesiastics, I have sought God, and He has opened my understanding, and it causes me to be humble and be more sensitive to other people because I'm asking God's wisdom, and I'm asking His will to be done in my life. Because if you know Lee can be pretty bold, pretty straightforward, and pretty offensive. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She can tell you. I'm a lot better than I ever was. God has used my wife and the Word of God to tame me down, cause me to be, I guess, more, I don't want to call it political, but a lot tamer in the way I come forth and correcting people. But you got to also understand, too, God has used me for years in companies, every company I ever worked for, and I've told the pastor this, always end up being a problem solver. So when you're in that position, you have to learn to be stern, and you have to learn that you don't white coat anything. You tell them like it is, and this is the way it's going to be. You don't like it, there's the door. Other companies may want you, but we can't have you unless you want to follow our policies. But you know, God has shown me the same thing in the Word of God. If we want to go forward with Him, we got to quit playing footsies with the devil. We got to quit trying to outrun our brothers and sisters, you know, what you got, I got better, and all this stuff. We got to learn to start wooing each other. We got to start nurturing each other in the love of God, because I don't care what we're going through, you know, we can help one another. What God has done for me, He'll do for you. What He's done for you, He'll do for me. And that's another thing we get out of life groups. God said they overcome the devil by their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. It just, I mean, He said it in reverse, the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. And in life group, when we give a testimony of what God brought us through, it might be the very thing that the other person here sitting across the table or next to us is going through right now, and they need that encouragement that God brought you through it, he can bring them through it, or vice versa. That's the reason why it's so important, and the very thing that you say may be the very thing to get them walking with God again. It may be the very thing to bring them back that they can forgive their brothers and sisters, because I'll tell you, you'll never go forward with God until we learn to forgive. A Christian should be quick to forgive and quick to love. If we had them in operation in the church, we wouldn't have to go through the reconciliation process all the time. Because God's will be done immediately. Am I there? No. I want to be. I try to be. But I'm going to be standing right here before you and honest. I'm not there. But I desire it. But I know that I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me to overcome. I know that I look forward to these life group meetings because they're strength to me. If you're having a bad week, they're strength for you to get through the rest of the week. If you're having a good week, you're strength to them to get them through the week. So it's important. So let's go here with pray first through the form here I've got that I preached on. She's bringing it up there. But I got here, pray first. You need to talk to God before you talk to the person. Making sure your attitude is right will go a long way toward making things right. Now, we're talking about reconciling a person. When you're going to a person, something has offended you or offended them, it don't matter who was right or wrong. You need to seek God before you talk to that person so that you will have the right attitude and you will have the wisdom to know how to say or to do what God wants you to do to that person. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest that thou be tempted. Other words, it's saying, if you, no matter how strong you think you are, we need to humble ourselves before God so that God can be glorified and our brother and sister can be restored. That's what that's talking about. And that's taken from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, go to the other person. Now you've prayed, you've asked God, he's laid on your heart how you can talk to your brother or sister about the situation. It says, don't wait for them to come to you. Initiate the reconciliation process. How many know the longer you let it go, the more it festers? Any problem does. Putting a Band-Aid on it don't fix it. It only makes it worse. So we need to seek God, ask him how to correct the problem, how we can fix the problem, but we never ask God for us to correct the person. We need to correct ourselves. Let God humble us that the other person can be reached. That's how we're going to solve the problem. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, this is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there are members that are, remembers that thy brother has aught against thee, ye leave thee thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, God said it's time, if our brothers or sister is offended with us, and we know it, before we bring our offering to God, we need to go before the brethren. We need to go before the sister. We need to make that right, which is not right. Where it be your fault or not, if you know there's a problem there, let God minister your heart how to go about fixing the problem. How to restore that brother or sister in Christ. And it may be you might be the one that needs to be restored. By going to God first, then we can make that happen. It says, be sympathetic. They say, that's number three. It says, try to understand how the other person feels. Don't assume the other person intended to be harmful or hurtful. Give the other person the same benefit of doubt you would want him to give to him or her to give to you as the motive behind that person's actions. Other words, God's saying, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Be considerate. try to see their point of view, but most of all, listen to God and see God's point of view on it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye do that men should do to you, do ye even to them." In other words, you know, we're to be kind. We're to be, you know, to one another. But I was just going to say, as a boss, I have employees. God got a guideline how I'm going to treat them employees. And I have to, if I want God to bless my business, I have to go by them guidelines. If you want God to bless your life and bless your family and bless this church, we need to come together as a body of Christ. We need to leave our woes on the outside the door or leave them here at the altar. We need to gather around, show love, forgive one another, and accept one another as we are, not how we think they ought to be, not that we think they should be, but like they are, and love them in the love of God. When we start doing that, you won't see the problems that we have in the church today. I know Pastor Rob doesn't have any problems in this church, but I just, in case you went to a church that did have some. Okay? Because after all, we're all children of God, and we're perfect here, right? Wrong. I've done messed up. If you guys were perfect, I messed it up when I come through the door. I'll be honest with you, okay? Most of the time when I preach, God's dealt with me before about this. And he may even be dealing with me right now. He just give me another shot of how I need to straighten up. Okay? Number four, it says, confess your part in the problem, whether it was your action or reaction in the situation that caused a rift in your relationship with that other person, admit you could have handled it better. Whoa, that comes back home again, doesn't it? Other words, quit blaming. Just fix the problem. Give it to God and let him show you how to fix the problem. Don't blame everybody else. We're living in a society, and I just went through that this week. I had to terminate an employee, and it was a very, very hard decision to make. I thought the world of this employee, but there was a situation come up, clearly his fault. Clearly he'd done wrong. He'd been warned before, but yet what he started doing immediately, and this he's a Christian brother, that kind of surprised me. It came up, the problem, and what he'd done, it was my fault. It was everybody else's fault. But the only thing was, he forgot I had all documentation where I talked to him about this problem before. Okay? But at the same time, I have an obligation to treat him fair. No matter what, I had to treat him fair. I lose sleep for a whole night anyway, and Carol can verify this, whenever I have to take a person's job. When I worked for these companies, I was on troubleshooting, and it came down to where the person refused to fix the problem, I had to take their job. I'd lose sleep, sometimes two or three nights, because I always wanted, and I would pray much, even though it's a worldly situation, I'd pray much. I'd say, God, have I done everything I possibly can to fix the problem? Not the person, but the problem. And I would put checklists in my head because I knew all the checklists by heart. And I would go down through, yes, I've went over this many times. Yes, I've done this many times. By the time it comes to the part, not that I felt better for them, because when you take a person's livelihood, anyway, me, I know some people can do it and never bat an eye, but to me, it's very hurtful. It's very hard when you have to take a person's livelihood. But it's the same way in the church. To see a brother and sister at aught in the church, I know how that weighs on a pastor's heart. I know how it weighs on mine. You just want to be able to fix the problem, especially if you got two people like this, button heads, and not one will give an inch. They don't want to see God's will done. For that particular time right there, they just know they've been offended and they don't want to get it fixed. But we have to pray. That's when the rest of the body of Christ has got to pray. That's when people come up with the pastor and pray and lift his hands up that God's will be done. That God will get through to the individuals that's got the problem. How many know that misery loves company? and it spreads. So if you don't fix it immediately and it festers, the next thing you know, you got a bigger problem. You got more people involved. Because we as people, we have a tendency to be sympathetic with somebody we like and not so much with somebody we don't care for as much. We got different personalities, so we may not have as much sympathy for the one that could be right. But it's not matter about who's right or wrong. What it is about fixing the problem. Let God fix the person. Let him give you the wisdom how to fix the problem. But there's one thing you can always do. You can let God fix you. Because if he fixes you, the problem may be solved. Hello. Now, you know, it's just a real situation there to where you have to deal with constantly. But reconciliation in the body of Christ, it needs to happen. But a lot of the reason why reconciliation can happen is because we can't forgive and we can't show the love of God. And everybody's pride gets in the way. And then the next thing you know, we've got a stronghold. Satan has a stronghold. He's trying to break the body of Christ. And I've never seen Satan trying to break the body of Christ as he is today. He is on the move, and we've got to recognize for what it is. When these things come forth, they aren't of God. They're of Satan, and he's just trying to divide the body of Christ. And we need to draw together, pray together, fast together to see these things, these chains broken in the body of Christ. And number four there, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for the other that ye may be healed, that you may be healed. That's James chapter 5, verse 16. Now it says, number 5 says, correct the problem and not the person. I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself right there. But a lot of times we think it's our job to go correct the brother and sister in Christ. But it's not. Our job is to let God correct us, minister our heart on how to fix the problem so there won't be an offense there any longer. And that's not always easy, because how many know that we think we're always right? I have this thing I say sometimes, and it gets a laugh, but it's if you think about it, it's kind of the way we think a lot of times. You know, I have an opinion, it's right, and if you want to be wrong, you can have another one. Okay? And that's how we look at it sometimes. I say it jokingly, but that's a lot what the problem is. We just because another person has a different opinion, how that don't make them wrong, and that don't make you right. God deals with our heart according to our character. And that's one thing I've learned over the years. How God ministered me, the word is always the same, but how he uses our character to bring it forth is different sometimes. And I have to learn to accept that. But we got this thing, a lot of people in management of companies, I'll use that, they've got their way of doing something. If you come in with a different way, your way is wrong. You know, you're wrong. It has to be done this way. But I've seen people come in with a different view of how to get the same. As long as the end result's the same, they'll go about it a different way and do it more efficient than what I can do it. So I have, and I've seen that with, and a lot of times we can get offended at young Christians because they're so excited, they're reaching out to God, they're wanting everything done. But, you know, yeah, we have to kind of guide them a little bit. But a lot of times, because they're so in tune with God because of what they've just received, that they're just drawing off of God, and he's doing a new thing through them. And as a result, we have to open up and let God have his way, and we have to accept him. But a lot of times we get offended at young Christians because they got so much excitement in their heart of what they've received. Us old fuddy-duddies kind of get offended. We've lost it. Hello. It's the truth. I like to be around young Christians because it inspires me to dig in and seek God harder and get that fresh and a new anointing again. It says in Ephesians chapter 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Other words, what we say should come out in love. Not condemnation, not ridiculing the person, not trying to correct the person, but showing that person love. And you know what we have lost in the world and has came into the church, we've lost the ability to agree, to disagree, and work together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But when God starts reconciling us, when he lays on our heart to restore our brother and sister back in to the body of Christ, it don't matter. Only thing I think about, there's my brother and sister hurting. I need to come up alongside them, hold their hands up, and help pray them through the situation. That's the way I look at it. I haven't always looked at it like that. I've got a pretty tough head here. That's the reason why hair can't grow on, because you can't grow hair on a rock. Okay? But God's had to skip a few off the top of it to kind of get my attention. Point number six. It says, cooperate with the other person in deciding how to mend the relationship. One person can't fix a relationship. We need both people involved. Work with them. Pray with them. And see how God would help restore that person or restore your relationship. When we come to the life group, we got that very thing that we can do. We got all of us there that we can kneel and join around and join hands and lay hands on you and pray for you and pray for God's strength and his wisdom to restore you back and help you forgive that which you've been hurt by so that you can be restored to the body of Christ. You know, hurts have a tendency to cause us not to forgive. And not to forgive causes us not to be walking in the true love of God. And not walking in the true love of God causes us not to be blessed like God wants to bless us. So who are you hurting? You're hurting you. And if you're in a situation where you and your brother or you and your sister are at odds or the sister has been hurt, we need to restore so that the blessings of God can not only restore that person, but so God can move in this congregation and he can move freely and he can have his way, that the benefits of God and the glory of God and the blessing of God will flow in this place. So that when anybody comes through, this is my prayer to the church on Sunday mornings. I pray over them doors out there. That anybody that comes through them and comes through these doors will be smacked right in the face with the love of God. That the love of God will hit them so hard that it will cause them to draw close to God. Will cause them to want to draw close to the body of Christ. Will cause them to reach out to God for all that God has for them. And it will cause them to reach out to the community and snatch those out of hellfire that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But most of all, that'll bring him in to the right standing with God. It says, verse 6 here, it says, "Rarely does a person get to have everything exactly the way he or she wants it. You usually must be willing to compromise to reach out a working agreement." In Romans chapter 12:18, it says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men." That's an everyday work. That's an everyday of trying to live a life or live in, and walk in the love of God, to learn to forgive quickly and learn to come up alongside the brother or sister and woo them back into the body of Christ. To help heal that hurt, to help show them the love of God. And I got a beautiful testimony on that Friday afternoon. I really felt impressed this morning I was to share. This is not my testimony. A good friend of mine is a contractor, and he works with a lot of other contractors. They had a contractor, a young contractor, that was in desperate need. And being in a desperate financial need, he was, He stole a lot of electrical wiring and stuff from the job and turned it in so he could make a payment on his house so he wouldn't lose his house because he had a wife and children. Now, what he done was wrong. All of us know that was wrong. But he was not a Christian. The other four contractors were Christians. Well, the amount came up, I don't know exactly what it was, but it wasn't that great, but yet it was enough to get him out of his bind. And yet, when confronted, he admitted that he stole the stuff. Now remember, all these are godly men, godly contractors. Three of the four contractors decided they were going down to the courthouse and file criminal charges against him for theft. And my friend, who's a good Christian, he felt that the Holy Spirit was dealing his heart. He said, wait a minute. He said, I don't think that's what we need to do. He says, I feel the Holy Spirit's telling me we need to forgive this young man. What he's done was wrong, but we need to see if we can help him and see if we can minister to him. He said, I feel God saying if we do this, he's going to give his life to Christ. Well, Friday night, this happened, I think, either Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. Friday night, that young man brought his wife, his children, and his parents and a friend to my friend's house. And all he could talk about was he just wanted to know more about Jesus because Dave stepped in and helped him. Dave stepped in. He knew who done it. And the other men decided, not willingly for at first, but they went ahead and stepped in and forgave him and said, yeah, we'll kick in and we'll try to help the young man. Now, the young man is in church this morning. He took his, I called before I came. He is there with his friends. He brought friends. He brought his parents. He brought his wife. He brought his children. He gave his life to Christ. So didn't his parents. So didn't his wife. I don't know about the children, but two of his friends also gave their heart to Christ this morning. Praise God. But that's the difference of operating in God's love. You know, the man cried and he asked all of them for their forgiveness. And you know what the man done? He's already working on restoration of what he done. He's already done over and above that which he took. That's how God, that's where, Zacchaeus was who came to my mind in the Bible is exactly this morning. But that's reconciliation. Not only did they reconcile that young man, but he gave not only himself, but his whole family and friends gave their life to him. And that's what it's all about. What if Dave would have said, okay, I agree with you. Let's go file charges. Let's go file charges against him and let's prosecute him for this theft. After all, he done wrong. But one godly man listened to the Holy Spirit. So you know who was at work here. It wasn't God when they was wanting to prosecute him. One man was godly enough that he listened to the Holy Spirit and a whole family got saved. Now, I just believe that probably just made the devil pretty mad. Amen? But that's where I want to be. I want to be, instead of looking at the person's fault, I want to be to where the person and what they've done wrong, I want to be to where I forgive. And I say, okay, what you done might be wrong, but let's pray together. Let's fix the problem. And then let's walk as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Point number 7. Focus on reconciliation and not on resolving every issue. People disagree on issue. That does not mean they have to be disagreeable. Focus on mending the relationship, not forcing the other person to agree with you. That's not always easy, is it? A lot of times we want the other person to agree with us, and we feel like, what? We won. But when we seek God's will, and he says, hey, just come alongside and pray him through. You two learn to pray together, and you'll see this resolved. And you'll see my will for the situation. But always work on when there's a rift between you and a friend or you and the church. First of all, Our biggest mistake is when we're offended. Like I say, misery loves company. We go to our best friend. We go to everybody else. The pastor doesn't even realize he might have said something or did something to offend you. Or you didn't give him a chance to explain why he said what he did. And now you're mad at the pastor. You're mad at everybody in the church. And the pastor didn't even know he offended you. Hello? How many of us been there, done it? You don't have to hold your hand up. But you got to give the person a chance. Pray and ask God to show you how to overcome the situation. But a lot of things, like I say, between 80-85% of the problems in the church of where we have problems is the fact that it was just simply miscommunications. It was simply we misunderstood or they misunderstood us that we really didn't mean it that way. You know, I can say something that's perfectly right, but be in the wrong attitude, it makes it perfectly wrong. And it offends people. Or I can be perfectly right, perfect attitude, but the wrong motive, it makes it wrong again. Because if it's in the motive of praising God, if it's in the bringing glory to God, I should say, well, then that is when you can be frank, but the Holy Spirit will take it, and he'll put it in that person's heart, and it'll bring healing versus division. And then there's other times when that person, when God lays on your heart to talk to him, it's going to bring correction. And that sometimes is not received well. But we have to pray that God will cause them to receive our correction. Now you say you've given a lot of these scriptures in the Old Testament about being slow to anger. What does it say in the New Testament? You know, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Let's turn to 4:11. We're going to try to wrap up here pretty quick with these scriptures. I know what the pastor says. Sometimes when you go a while without preaching, you got a truckload to give out, and we got a huge truck to give out, and only a pickup you need to drive. You know, 4:11. I get to the right one myself. We'll be all right here. There it is. It says that, this is talking here about how we need to live a quiet life. It says that you also acquire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we recommended to you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. In other words, it's saying that, you know, we need to keep our mind or our nose and our opinions out of other people's business. And if we found that a lot of times, well, you know, how many of you know, well, I just don't understand why he said it. You know, Lee says some of the craziest things sometimes, and I do, but I just don't understand. You know, I think, you know, being a preacher, he ought to be able to be more sensitive. But, you know, I'm human, and I do have an ornery streak in me from time to time, and I say things that I have to go back and apologize for. I don't mean bad, but when the Holy Spirit tells me you offended, now you need to go back and apologize, that's the first thing I try to do. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 11 through 15. It says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in the disorderly manner, but not working at all, are busybodies. We all know what busybodies are, don't we? They always have something to say about everything. They always got their nose into somebody else's business. Now, it doesn't ever happen to any of us, I'm sure. But anyway, you know, that we do have busybodies. It says, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey your word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as the enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Other words, because you can't seem to get along with that brother, you may need to cut ties with him. or that sister, you may need to cut ties with them, but they're still your brother and sister in Christ. You're to pray for them just like you would your friend. You want to pray for restoration for that friend. You want to pray for restoration for that one that you're having the problem with. You need to pray that God will give you insight in how to reach that person and restore them back to the fullness of the body of Christ. But it says they're not your enemy. But they're still your brother or sister in Christ. Just because you haven't been able to work out what's going wrong, we may not always be able to work out everything. That's where you agree to disagree, but you still got to love them. You may have to cut ties with them because every time you're with them, it seems like a conflict. But that don't mean they aren't your brother and sister in Christ. We have to love them as if we were getting along good with them. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Like I say, we've just got a couple more here, and I'll wind it up here. Had some of them marked so I could turn to them a little quicker here. Okay, chapter 20, verse 5 or 35 of Acts says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, what's it telling us? We can be offended at those that may not be strong in the body of Christ, but we've got to support them. We've got to encourage them. We've got to encourage one another in the body of Christ so that we can see God glorified. And we can see that person restored or grow in the things of God. And that's what life groups are all about, holding each other's hands up so we can grow. Life groups are the backbone of the church. And I know the pastor said that, the Otis has said that, but we can grow together in there. As we grow together in the life groups and we start reaching out to those around us, the church gets stronger too because each one of us are stronger. So we can, as people come in, we can better help people. We can help encourage people. We can help evangelize better because we're stronger. And now we're seeing ourselves be able to go out and glorify God. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20, and this will be our last scripture for the day. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. It says, So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So we've got to get God in the forefront of a situation. We've got to seek him. We've got to keep God in the front. And that's what I'm seeing in the life groups. We're coming, we're sharing in the life groups, and we're encouraging one another. And as a result, we're all being encouraged. It's strengthening to each one of us to get on through the week and also through the life groups that we're seeing people, we're coming, we're praying for healing in people. We're praying for situations, financial situations. We're praying for healings. We're praying for spiritual growth. Just whatever the Holy Spirit and whatever your need is and what the Holy Spirit lays on our heart so we can encourage one another. So I encourage you this morning, as I bring this message to a close, try to get into a life group. It's just one night a week. Basically, as far as the meetings, not only is it just one night a week, but it's only about an hour and a half long. But the encouragement and the fun you have eating together and fellowshipping, and we have fun as well as hear the Word of God. And it's always good to eat. You know, I love to eat, and I look like it too. But it's a time when we grow spiritually. When we pray for one another and we see God touch and we see people delivered and the testimonies that people have of what God's done for them is just outstanding. So with that, I'm going to ask the pastor to come. But as he comes, I want to ask this question. Go right ahead. Is there something in your life that you have something that you need to give to God this morning so that you can let God draw close to you and that you can draw close to God? Maybe it's something that you've hung on to, but you need to be restored. You need to be reconciled to God. Maybe there's some here that's got out against somebody else in the church. If you want to see God's blessings in your life, you want to see God's blessing in the church, you want to see the church grow, let's lay them all at the altar this morning. Let's lay them at the foot of Jesus. Let's seek God here this morning. Let's go out a new person here this morning because we gave all of our cares to the Lord, and we desire to love our brothers and sisters and to draw closer. I hope this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit has dealt with our heart, that maybe something we said caused you to draw closer to God this morning. As I turn it over to the pastor, the altar is open.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.